0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie is the simple email. 51551 is the text number, as you know. Now, at about 12 o'clock today, the Green Party government TD, indeed, for Dublin South Central, Patrick Costello, he issued a statement. And I read it out to you in full as we go along, but basically saying that July the 12th, which is, as you know, the day after tomorrow, should be a national holiday in the south, in the Republic of Ireland. One of the reasons he said it was for the tourist industry. Now, initial reaction, is Brendan there? Brendan, Joe at RT.ie, 51551. He's gone off my screen. Okay. Okay, Brendan, you're back. Brendan Rowan, Brendan, what do you think of this proposal by the Green Party? We asked Patrick Costello, by the way, was he willing to come on and talk to Liveline listeners about his proposal, but he said that he had a previous commitment. Go ahead, Brendan.
I think it's a great idea, Joe, and it's a pity he's not on to say why he suggested it. I didn't think of it. But what I did do was at the weekend, and I promised myself this for many years. I live in Donegal now since 1992. I've always wanted to go to the Orange Parade in Rosnaula because what I heard about it was that it was a lovely family day.
Okay.
Like the parades that would have happened near Clonus and Monaghan, where I was born and where I lived until I was eight. So I went down there, yes, on Saturday.
Okay.
And Joe, the welcome I got, and when people knew who I was and why I was there. Now, I should tell you, I was wearing the traditional Irish saffron kilt, which was suppressed under the penal laws. And when I was asked, and I was asked by several people, one an MLA, I don't know his name, a young man, and another Church of Ireland minister, why I was there. And I said, I've come to show my respect for that tradition, which is reflected in our national flag. So I suppose that ties in a little bit with that Green Party man's suggestion. I don't know why he's not there to support what he said. But, Joe, it was a fantastic family day out. And I also said to somebody else, I look forward to the day when we're mature enough here, and people in the north the same, that we could have such a wonderful pageant on our streets in Ireland, in Cork, in Limerick, in wherever. It's a tour spectacle, Joe.
Well, I know I take your point because Mr. Costello does say, aside from the symbolic effects, this would also bring benefits for the tourism industry. What are the benefits for the tourism industry to have July the 12th, which marks the victory of William of Orange over James, the Catholic king, and the Protestant descendancy? What would the tourism benefit be to the Republic of Under?
Well, Joe, until I got my cancer, I've been diagnosed with inoperable cancer, but until I got my diagnosis,
Sorry,
I can take a message. Joe, I've been living the dream since I got this diagnosis. My life has changed dramatically for the best. But listen, I was in the tourist accommodation business for 27 years in Donegal.
Okay.
And 60% of my guests were from the UK. And I could tell you a very funny story about a wonderful hen party group that I had from the Shankill Road, and most of them had never been out of Northern Ireland before, and were, I suppose, they felt a bit wrong-footed in the Republic. But anyway, look, they were amazed.
Well, in fairness to Mr. Costello, he said for too long, the Irish state sought to portray a single narrative of Irish history. One that was isolationist, militant, nationalist and Catholic. Is that true?
I would say that's true of both traditions that are reflected in our flag. And I would say that...
The Irish state, for the last 60 years, well, I'm thinking of Labour, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, who've been in power, mainly because, as you know, Sinn Féin wouldn't stand for election or present themselves in Dáil Éireann, and they refused to recognise Dáil Éireann until 1986. So the narrative about 100 years of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour and Clann na Publicaigh is kind of against that backdrop. Of course, it was 100 years that the only people who wanted to step forward to run the country, which was a basket case at some stage. But for the last 60 years, is it not fair to say that the Irish government, be it Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour, Green or whatever, they haven't. They've opposed the militant nationalist and Catholic and isolationist policy, especially of one political party. But Mr. Costello seems like...
No, I think they have in some respects, Joe, but...
What were you risking your life for up at the border?
Joe, I swore loyalty to a constitution that at that time claimed jurisdiction over Northern Ireland, and I am glad that I was never faced with the dilemma of being told to move in to some part of another jurisdiction.
But what who were you protecting up at the border?
I was protecting Irish citizens or anyone.
Against who?
Against any armed civilians who
a
were...
Against a group who called themselves Óglaigh na hÉireann. There's only one Óglaigh na hÉireann in this republic, and it's the defence forces of which you were a member.
Exactly. I agree with you. But there are other people who claim that as well. And Joe, listen, for so long as any of these groups are marginalised, we will never have a united country, a united Ireland, a united island. You know, and I think what we need to do is to extend a hand of friendship to them and to show them they have nothing to fear from being part of a united Ireland. And in fact, actually, what I suggested to some of the people yesterday was those Northerners, I mean, I'm not a Northerner, I'm an Ulster man, but the Northerners, I feel, have a completely different and better work ethic than we have. If those two factions got their act together like Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley showed them was possible, they would be the biggest party in a united Ireland. And you spoke about Sinn Féin a minute ago. Listen, Sinn Féin should have been part of a national government during the pandemic. Why? They were kept out. And what's going to happen now? The Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael conspired and gave them on a plate an opportunity to shine in opposition, which they've done. And now we're going to be stuck probably with a Sinn Féin-dominated government that we don't know what they're going to be doing in important positions.
Well, in fairness, it's wrong to say you'll be stuck. If Sinn Féin stand for election now, run the next government, it will be democratically elected, and they will be democratically elected. Let me bring in Pádraig. Pádraig, good afternoon. Brendan is in favour of this proposal by the Green Party TD to make the 12th an annual national holiday in the south, a public holiday in the south. What do you think, Pádraig?
No, I think the Green Party should rebrand as the Orange Party. If that's the case, I think we should have a Republic Day on April 24th. It is the Republic of Ireland. You can tell by the accent, Joe, I come from the north. I currently live in the south for 10 years.
Okay.
But I came down first in the 1990s. My family brought me down to places like Bundoran and Knock to escape the kind of pogrom-like activity the Orange institutions carried out at that time. And I came up home as only a child at the time and seen the aftermath. The three young twin brothers come to mind, particularly, and some of the death and destruction that was wreaked in communities at that time. And just to give a bit of background, the Orange Institution was originally the People's Day Boys. It was an organisation built on supremacy, on hatred and intolerance. You know, the Battle of the Diamond was in Armagh was what it's about. They've since taken on these... the trappings of this historical European conflict and the Jacobean Williamite War, but the reality was it was to do with keeping down Irish and Catholic.
What is it like for a Catholic to be in a busy town or city in Northern Ireland on the 11th and the 12th?
Well, there's a term lower than the Larn T word, which is another insult against Catholic or nationalist people. And my family's history are making ourselves scarce. You know what I mean? Other people stood, like I say, I was younger than a teenager in 1993, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's when that really was at a head. A lot of communities had to stand up, and many were basically battened down by the British Army and by the RUC at the time to force these marches through areas where they were not wanted. And they were supremacist marches. The songs are anti-Catholic, anti-nationalist.
Okay, you're going along that road I was going to ask you. Why were they not wanted, Pádraig?
As I said, the words of the song are blood and thunder. They're kick the Pope. They're proven that this area is an unwelcome place for the local residents, that they have the right to the Queen's Highway or the King's Highway, I believe is what the term was used, you know, and that the people there were second-class citizens, the nationals of the North, had no rights. Their rights were second rate to those who were of the Protestant faith. That's what the constitution's about. And then to say that the Republic of Ireland is somehow adopt that and commemorate that and bring it into a public holiday is an insult to the people that died over the last 40, 50 years, or last two or three centuries, really.
And
you know what I mean?
What do you do now on the 11th and the 12th, Pádraig?
Well, as I say, I live in the south, there's no holiday at work.
No, but your friends up north, what do they do? Do they leave? Do they leave?
Well, a lot of people, the summer holidays is normally what happens there. But you see yourself, Joe, over the weekend, the type of hatred against the current Taoiseach of the south of Ireland and Moy Gashel, you know, and again, anti-Good Friday is top of the pile there. I can't remember, the ship is sailed.
Yeah,
so,
but Pádraig, they're entitled to say we're against the Good Friday Agreement. They're entitled to say we're against the protocol.
To burn effigies of people similar to what the Ku Klux Klan do. I don't think so. I don't think there's a right to hatred. I don't think that should be allowed or condoned or endorsed.
And then last year, despicably, they had Michelle O'Neill posters up on another. Okay.
It's a festival of hatred. It's not something that's inclusive. Okay, and Brendan, brought in today.
Brendan Roan, who's a former Irish Army officer and in favour of a public holiday in the south for the 12th, it's a celebration of hatrated. A festival.
Yes, the 24th of April is a Republic Day. That should become
the
day
they're right. Okay, separate argument. Yeah. But anyway, Brandon, it's a festival of hatred.
Well, I haven't lived in the North, so I can't really speak to that, Joe. But I think we've got to move on. I mean, okay, it's important that we understand our history, but if we're stuck in it, you know, we'll never get the United Ireland that some people are hoping that we can do, because there's so much fear holding it back on both sides. I think we have to take a brave step forward, step in maturity, and move away from that.
Okay, Jude White is in Belfast, a lecturer and indeed a campaigner on truth and reconciliation. Jude, good afternoon. You've been listening. What do you think of the proposal, the statement from the Green Party TD, Pádraig Costello, calling for the government, of which he's a member, so it'd be straightforward, I presume, if you wanted it, to make the 12th of July a public holiday, Jude?
Well, this is the aspect of social democracy. Of course, he's elected and he's entitled to call for whatever he wishes. But I mean, I really think, maybe give us a wee ring up here. The Orange Order is a very interesting organisation, and it's a very different organisation, say, in rural Ireland and urban Ireland. I mean, one of your callers there was talking earlier on at the Rosnaut. That demonstration has been going on every year without any incident of any sort, and I suspect it has that feel of a family day out. If you live up here, especially in urban working class Catholic areas, or indeed in rural working class Catholic district, you would feel very, very different about this. The Orange Order, it took 15, 20 years to have parades rerouted away. And I suppose the question to be asked is, why would you want to reroute a parade of, you know, of people playing music and dressed in very outstanding costumes? The history up here would suggest that the Orange Order have a long way to go to try and make themselves, essentially to join civic society, and that is to do something that is positive and involves people, all people. Regarding this tourism argument, it's very interesting. The Orange Order acting in Belfast is brilliant for tourism, because all us Catholics get out for this week, and we either head to Donegal, or we go to Ballycastle, or we head down, if we're very lucky, away down to Cork and Kerry to our summer houses or our caravans. I mean, this place will die today, and you won't see anybody until about next Sunday. So for tourism, the Orange Order is absolutely the best marketing thing you can actually have up here. Now, regarding having, a march, say, in Wexford or Waterford or Limerick or or Galway. Look, in theory, this is grand theory, and it's about 50 years too early. Everything, you know, is about timing. The Orange Order up here are seen as a very, very divisive group. They demean and degrade the Catholic religion. They degrade nationalism, and their performance up here, especially during the Drumcree dispute and in the Lower Armour Road where I come from, has been nothing short of scandalous. It's totally indefensible. I mean, somebody was saying to me earlier on about the picture of the Taoiseach on a bonfire down, I think it was Mygashel or down in Dungannon. I mean, that's late relief for people like me. I mean, that's simply late relief. So it's nearly funny. What my big fear would be that, you know, this parades thing is on the verge of exploding again. And this week, the Orange Order, for the first time, actually took what might be seen as a courageous decision, in that they have voluntarily rerouted themselves. They have rerouted the Belfast parade because of drunkenness and because of violence. And, you know, and the complex nature is that you will see a parade. The first band might be 50 men, overwhelmingly men, over the age of 50, with Prince Lodge, and you would know by looking at them that they never had a pint of Guinness in their life. Two bands back, you might get a band of 50 men, all under the age of 30, singing songs, Kick the Pope bands that are full of hateful music, were turned to convenient blood. So this call for a public holiday by I think it's Costello, is that correct?
Patrick Costello.
Yeah, he's about 50 years too early. I mean, and I do understand that in a united Ireland, the place of the Orange institutions and the place of the, you know, of the Orange Order will have to be and will be respected. But it's about 50 years too
early. We'll try and get a better line between north and south, Jude, during the break. And I want to bring Pat in. I'll let you back in a sec, Brendan. Pat,
thanks.
Patrick. I want to go to Pat, who's in Sutton in Dublin. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes, Joe. I would be very much against such a celebration on it. I've lived up in the north. I've been involved in everything else on it, and it's not nice at all. And if we have a celebration down here, now I know Ballyrona was one thing, Ballyrona, but if we have one down here, they'd all be piling down here with our drums and everything else and having a parade. And I have a bad experience up in the north, and I would not like to experience anything like it again. I'm not the most intelligent individual, but I was working up there as a consultant in the late 60s, early 70s, and in White Abbey, north of Belfast. And I went into work one morning, and there was a petrol bomb on my desk with a rag out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, as I say, I'm not the most intelligent, but I got the message, and we were living in Belfast at the time, and I moved back down to Dundalk.
What was the message, Pat?
Well, the message was, get out of here, Murphy. Pat Murphy from Dundalk, a Catholic at the time on it, and the petrol bomb, the next could be your home. So, no, that was the message on it, and I got that. And I've had bad experiences up there because I used to spend my summer holidays in the north all the school holidays, because my grandparents came from there, and very bad experience with it. And there's no way, I'm not in the protest, but if the decision was to have such celebrations, then I would be out protesting, which I've only ever in my life joined one protest, and this would be my second one, I assure you, Joe. No way will I have it.
I'll come back to you in a sec, Pat, especially with your own experience. Brendan, Jude White mentioned a few things. One case I want to especially allude to is the killing of five innocent people who were either inside or outside a bookies called Sean Graham Bookies. I think it was near the bottom of the Armour Road. A loyalist group went in and basically machine gunned them. And the reason this is of coming to my memory today is that the man, the father of one of the children, as it happened, that's, I wrote about it with Frey McClements in my book, and that's why it sticks so strongly in my head. One of the parents said, and he was talking about the effect of that murder on family. His own wife died prematurely because of a broken heart. Other people died. He said bullets never stop travelling. Bullets never stop travelling. And in my little life, it's the theme of what I think happens in Northern Ireland. Bullets never stopped travelling. James Kennedy was 15 years of age. Peter McGee was 18. Christy Doherty was 62. Willie McManus was 54. And Jack Duffin was 66. Now, in justifying, what an abuse of a word. Well, in justifying that massacre, and there are massacres on both sides, T-Ban, I can do it. We can do all the whataboutry. But in justifying that, this is about the 12th, in justifying that massacre, the UFF or whatever criminal gang claimed responsibility on the loyalist side said that it was a very active IRA area. That's what they said. It was a very active, so they felt they were justified going in and just mowing down five people. But on July the 12th, 1992, when the Orange Order marched past Sean Graham Bookmakers, and there's a dignified memorial, I only saw it 4 weeks ago again, there's a dignified memorial to those five innocent people. When the Orange Order marched past Sean Graham Bookmakers, do you know what they did, Brandon?
Go on.
They held up five fingers. They all held up their hands in the air with the five fingers. And you know what the five fingers represented?
The five people.
Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we're ringing Mr. Patrick Costello again to TD to see will he come on live. And as I said, we rang him, or we contacted him immediately after he issued a statement, but he said he had a previous commitment and he wasn't. Well, Liveline, you're talking to listeners, I suppose, primarily. Teresa Maguire. Teresa, good afternoon. And by the way, he's entitled not to come on. He's entitled. Teresa Maguire. Teresa, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe, how are you?
What do you think? Should July the 12th be a pub? This is a proposal. This is not pub talk. This is a proposal by a government TD, a member of the party that supports as part of our government, that there should be a public holiday on July the 12th, which is the day after tomorrow, as it happens. What do you think, Teresa?
Well, I live in Ballyshannon, County Donegal, okay. So I'm about 5 miles from Rosmarla, where the parade happened on the weekend. And I lived here all my life and I've never been to the parade in Rosmarla, and I would just love to go and see it. And I play in Ballyshannon Brass and Reed Band, and on a musical side of it, I'd love to.
So why haven't you gone, Teresa?
I don't know. I actually don't have any idea why, you know, people don't go from here.
Interrogate in your own head, Teresa, why you think you don't go. Is it something that was said to you as a child? Is it neighbours, friends, family?
One of the reasons I wouldn't go, what put me off going there on Saturday was I don't want to get stuck in traffic, because it's quite a narrow road down. And okay. that was the only reason I didn't go last Saturday. But
so what do you think? What do you think of the proposal by the Green Party that July the 12th should be a public holiday in the South?
It's a very difficult one, and my husband's from Northern Ireland, so he would probably have a different view. And even the mention of the word the 12th of July would be an issue. Because originally, my son's birthday was with the 12th of July. And when I come home and told him that, he goes, no way.
Well, notice, as Jude White, who lives in Belfast, as Jude White said, because one of the arguments the Green Party put forward is it'd be great for the tourism industry in the South. And he said, Jude White said it already is, because a lot of Catholics or nationalists get out of the North for this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is true.
So my question is, have you noticed an influx of people, you can't, how do you, I don't know how you identify the religion,
into Dundorn and Rosmarla, yes it would be, yeah, it would be a good Okay. Good for business in the south, okay, and that starts. Yeah.
Jude White, can I ask you again? You mentioned that from today until next Monday, who leaves Northern Ireland? Insofar as they can, it costs money to leave. Insofar as they can, who leaves?
We have a protective love affair here with the county of Donegal. So every caravan, every bar from Ballyliffin in the north, right down as far as Barna, Spittle, the Iron Islands, everybody who can essentially leaves, because this is no place for Catholics for the next week.
Why? Everybody why did they leave?
It's an intimidating atmosphere. People would be afraid. In Belfast, we live in big, massive areas, well away from our neighbours. Effectively, the bigger the area, the safer you actually feel. And I mean, and that is not to say that, you know, Orange. I mean, the 12th of July does not have a place in the Unionist calendar. It does. I mean, one of the most bizarre things ever I've seen in my life, I actually saw that gesture, that five-finger gesture itself. I was standing at the corner of Butler Street, one street up, and I mean, it's been parked in my head free ever since. I just can't get the image out of my head, because I knew those five people, and I know their families, and I know there was no relationship between them. The IRA, preposterous, even Sinn Féin, preposterous. They were as normal, as ordinary people that you'll ever come across. But one of the most bizarre incidents ever was down in Great Victoria Street here three years ago, when the Bone Fire was beginning to burn down. Was setting a hotel and a set of apartments and flats on fire. And the fire brigade were rang, and the fire brigade came in. And to nobody's amazement, whatsoever, they didn't put the fire out. They started hosing down the apartment.
So they didn't. I mean, they didn't attack the bonfire.
Not at all. They attacked the apartments to keep the apartments cool. In no city in Western Europe would these bonfires, and there's a place for them, by the way, be tolerated on waste ground half a mile from the city centre, causing danger, causing destruction, etc., etc. So I mean, that's another thing that, you know, Mr. Costa will have to take into consideration if there's going to be a public holiday. Look, keep away from this. I mean, I understand your sentiment is positive, and you mean well. Keep away from this place for the next 50 years until this is sorted out.
Okay.
The Orange Order will have a place.
Okay, yeah. Teresa, we'll try and get a better line, Joe. Teresa.
I just think that actually the one in Rosnaila, though, there's a more family event about it. It's a different feeling than being in Northern Ireland for the same event. Like, I myself, we wouldn't,
well, do you
we
accept,
wouldn't travel.
Do you accept the testimony of Jude and indeed Pat and Parig, that the July the 12th is different in Northern Ireland?
Totally different. Totally different. I went to
and
university
what would
in
you
Northern
do,
Ireland.
What
and
would you
totally
if as the Green Party proposed is accepted, that we have a public holiday on July the 12th? No one objects to another day off. For God's sake, nobody, except the businesses that have to pay, hotels and factories or whatever they have to pay. That what would you do on July the 12th?
I don't know. I actually don't think we'll ever have a July the 12th here. We're a long way
but
off.
But you agree with
yes.
the Green Party that we should have one?
No, I don't. No,
oh, you don't.
No.
I'm sorry. I thought you said that. Okay.
No, I don't mind the parade happening. Okay. I don't mind, and I really appreciate seeing the bands and everything and the work that goes into a band. But I think we're a long way off having a July the 12th in Southern Ireland.
Okay.
And I would be very non-political. I just don't think, you know, we're at that stage yet.
Okay. Teresa, good to meet you, Margaret. Pat, just you came in, there was a petrol bomb on your desk.
Yes.
And did you decide shortly afterwards to leave Northern Ireland?
Well, about a day.
God.
About a couple of days on it. I mean, I was in the middle of a very loyalist area, and when I came in and saw that on my desk with the rag hanging out of it. Now, there was no petrol in it. It was an image.
It wasn't a real petrol pump.
But there was water in it, I know that, and the rag coming out of it.
And how do you know it was loyalist water?
because I was in a very loyalist area, and they were all watching me coming into my desk. And it was definitely, without doubt, without doubt.
Okay.
I think there was only one other Catholic in the whole area.
I should give out more numbers, actually. Our Joe at RT.ie is the simplest one. His email, Joe at RT.ie, from anywhere in the world, from Northern Ireland, 08457 853333. Andrea O'Reilly. Andrea, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Just to say that, unlike that woman,
Teresa,
we've been going to Rathnaola for 30 years.
Okay.
There was maybe five or six banners. There was a guard of horses, and there was us and the rain, usually, in Rathnaola. And we went to see the guard of horses, actually. The kids were fascinated with that. But then, moving on then till, I think it was around the noughties, when the peace process was gathering momentum and all that. When we were up there, it was a fabulous day. There was just banners, and mostly from Cavan and Monaghan, by the way. Mostly from Cavan and Monaghan. Yellow Man, Candy Floss, and it was a great day. And I was just, I did think to myself, God, they're not people with horns. They're just like us, out having the day. Now, I wouldn't agree with their, principles. I'm more on the Republican side, and I promote, I would like to see a shared Ireland. But we're not going to have that if we just demonise them all the time. I mean, Eddie O'Neill was one of my neighbours from Dominic Street Flat.
I can remember,
bomb threats and everything else. But at the same time, from a teenager, I was going up to North to compete in pipe band competition. Mm. And Salt of the Earth, you wouldn't describe those people. They were absolutely brilliant. Now, they were hardliners. Remember one time, just give you an idea, I went into a tea tent, and this man, I went to pay for it, like an idiot, with Southern money. And your man says, we don't have that funny money here. And I didn't know what to do, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then this woman came along and she said, what are you doing here, didn't your man, and whatever. And he was making a big deal of it, whatever. And she literally bet him out of the tent with a tea towel and told him to get out. What was he doing there, whatever. She gave me the tea and the cakes and more cakes for free. So, there are people up in the north that are just like us, want to get on with their lives, raise their families and whatever else like that. I'm not saying, we have to own up and we have to acknowledge that for 30 years there was murder and mayhem and everything. And, it breaks my heart. There was an absolutely brilliant documentary on the telly there not so long ago where ordinary people on both sides were able to tell of their loss and their anger and their beliefs and whatever else like that. Super, super documentary. So the thing about it is, as far as I'm concerned, let's even put it to a vote. You should maybe do a phone poll and see what people think. Because I think the softliners like myself are probably sick of this. You're always going to get the hardliners. Like, look at Knocknagoshal or whatever. Knocknagoshal was it up in the north, and they had Leo on top of a bonfire. You're always going to get those people. You just have to try and reach out to the other people that are there. And maybe, even with immigration and everything else, you'll get hardliners and, right-wing people and all that. But they're a very small minority, I personally think. And I think most people, don't want hassle. They just want to get on with their lives. Mm. And, maybe do their own thing. They believe in the unionist or a Republican thing. And that's what...
Yeah, but specifically... Andrea, the debate today is not about reconciliation per se or Good Friday Agreement. It's about a call today by the Green Party, part of the government in the Republic, calling for the 12th of July to be a public holiday down south. Now, you heard Jude White saying he believes it's 50 years too soon. Brendan Rowan agrees with it because he believes it would help towards United Ireland. Other people disagree, but it's about the 12th and what the 12th represents and what it has been. For example, as you know, and people will know, Drumcree was one of the standoff for many, many years up there. The local Orange Order wanted to walk down the Garvahy Road, which was past the Catholic estate. The people of the estate were very, very anti. What they saw was a triumphalist coat-trailing exercise, and the standoff began. And then, against that background of, unfortunately, heightened sectarian bias and heightened sectarian hatred, hating people just because of their religion, we know that a number of Catholic taxi drivers were taken out and murdered. And we know that the day after tomorrow is the 25th anniversary of the killing, the murder of three children. And the reason why their house was set on fire was because they were Catholics living in a Protestant area. Richard, just let me name those children, because real people. If Richard Quinn hadn't been burned to death 25 years ago, the day after tomorrow, he would be 35 today. If Mark Quinn hadn't been burned to death 25 years ago, the day after tomorrow, he'd be 34. If his brother, Jason Quinn, if he hadn't been burned to death the day after tomorrow, because he was a Catholic family living in a Protestant estate, he would be 33. And they are dead 25 years, and listen to how young they would still be. And that happened around the 12th. And whether, from what I'm hearing, the 12th still brings up issues of triumphalism, of co-trailing, of supremacy, of showing who's boss. And that is the problem still, it seems. And if you look at I was up there 4 weeks ago, after the coronation of King Charles, and you saw, I was up to Shankill, I was up Sandy Row, lots. I know East Belfast fairly well. I know Belfast fairly well. There was nowhere on this island, or the island beside us, that had a greater reverence and a greater display of support for King Charles than in certain parts of Belfast. And that is deep, and that is what those people believe. And they believe that the people in the south, and the Catholics in particular, especially up north, nationalists, to use a broader frame, that they want them out, So the 12th does represent something that's deep in their psyche, on one side, and their psyche in the other side. And that is the issue that has to be addressed.
Yeah, but if you go back to Rothnaula, right? I brought my kids up there. I've been bringing my kids up there for years, right? They don't know about the troubles and whatever else like that. No, they do now. But as children, all they saw was banners and yellow man and ice cream and things like that. And other kids who had a different accent to them. And what were you doing? And what's your name? And whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think and I agree with what that man says. It'll probably take years. We have to start somewhere.
Yeah,
we have to start somewhere. And I mean, it's okay for me to say, you know, oh, we should be reconciled and whatever else like that. Like, you know, the families who were bereaved. And I mean, I would only know of them and you know, from documentaries and things like that. But I mean, you know, I know how hard it hits when a member of your family died naturally, never mind being killed, and particularly someone who would have been murdered as a teenager or something like that, you know?
But, and then,
you know,
remember,
someone has to stand up and say, look, like, everybody, look at Rathnaula, look what they're doing. And most of the locals in Rathnaula, you know, I'm not saying they don't bother with the parade, but they're probably afraid to, you know. Like, in latter years, they've come around, and I know the pubs and the restaurants are delighted with the business. And before that, you know, there was an influx. That's why we stopped going in July, actually, because there was such an influx of people from the north to get away from all the triumphalism and the whole lot and one thing and another. But I mean, if you look at the Irish flag, there's orange in it too, you know. So there's green and there's orange,
okay,
and there's
point,
the white in the middle are coming together, you know. There's a reason why the tricolour was picked, you know. They are included in our flag too, people forget that.
Yeah, but they do,
you know.
They, in fairness, there's a significant proportion of people living in Northern Ireland who do not want any hand, act, or part of the Republic. They do not want. You don't have to go up. There's a significant proportion of people up there who do not want any Hand Act or part in Northern Ireland. And it seemed to me in my most recent visit that the demonstrations of loyalty to the King have actually increased in Northern Ireland since the protocol.
If they want to support a King, you know. Or, you know, I remember Naomi Long saying that, you know, her mother was a very strong woman and they were painting the road with the British flag. Mm-hmm. And when your man said to her, we're loyalists or whatever, he said, yes, loyalists, she said, I certainly wouldn't drive over the Union Jack, whatever it is. And, you know, like she said, I'd more respect for it. And your man didn't know what to say.
Yeah, but you know, I need to take a break. But in fairness, yeah. I should point out, I believe there was just the figure given, and this is another shameful episode. We cannot give a correct figure for the number of people who were killed in the so-called Troubles. I believe from the research we did of the children killed up the north and the children who were recorded in various books and newspapers that it was underestimated by at least 10%. So therefore, the number of people killed in the Troubles was just short of 4,000 people. 4,000 people. Every single day on this island, there's now at least 12 families marking the anniversary of a relative that was killed in the Troubles. Yeah. The majority, as we know, were killed, whether they like to say it or not, by Republicans, then Loyalists, then the British Army, the forces. And for every massacre that you can mention on the loyalist side, as I did to Sean Graham, the murder of the Quinn children, you can mention the Kingsmill massacre, the Teban massacre, the Le Mans Hotel, the Abercorn restaurant, the Black Friday bombings in Belfast. You could the Tully Velen massacre. There's so much violence and hurt and grief and pain recently. As I say, those Quinn children, if they had not been murdered 25 years ago, they would all be now in their early 30s. That's how recent it is. And that's why it is so sensitive to so many people. Stay with us, Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're dealing with this statement issued just after 12 o'clock by the Green Party, Green Party TD, Patrick Costello, member of the government parties, as you know. And he wants the July the 12th, which is a public holiday in Northern Ireland, as you know, to be made a public holiday. He's calling on the government. Well, he's part of it. He's calling on himself. He's calling on the government to make the 12th of July a public holiday. This day is an extremely important one historically for the island, culturally for many people who live here. Aside from the symbolic effects, it would also bring benefits for the tourism industry. In Limerick, we could capitalise on the Treaty Stone. In Galway, on the Battle of Ockram site. The Battle of the Boyne, as we know, is a well-known visitor site, is part of that whole area up there, not just the Battle of the Boyne, but Nowt and Dowt and Tara, an incredible visiting location. And he said, for too long the Irish state sought to portray a single narrative of Irish history, one that was isolationist, militant, nationalist, Catholic. We know that history is not black and white. We know that there are numerous traditions on this island. If the Irish state truly aspires to unite all the peoples on this island, then all of those people need to feel represented and included. Designating the 12th of July as a public holiday would be a major step for that process. Now, I don't know if that was debated at the most recent Green Party conference or it's just an individual or it's pie. I don't know what with the Green Party work. But anyway, does Eamon Ryan agree with it? Does Catherine Martin agree with it? Or do they have to agree with it? Noel is in the Netherlands. Noel, good afternoon. You're listening to this debate. Your point, please. Noel.
Hi, Joe. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It would be the greatest greeting to an untold number of potential visitors that ever existed in Ireland. I mean, so my background, I think I've been told I'm one of the first handful of Roman Catholic baptized Irishmen to address Orangemen in an Orange Lodge. I was invited in 2005 to Moygashel Orange Lodge to give a lecture there about my research. I'm from Ballinasloe, which is, as you just mentioned, Ockham there. And in 2004, I was home from the Netherlands and I gave a tour. Judy, okay. The girl out there in Ockham,
I want you to tell me that the sting of what we're talking about today is July the 12th. What benefits, because this is one of the arguments the Green Party are making, it would have tourism benefits and cultural benefits. What benefits would it be to the Republic, or indeed go broader to the whole island, if July the 12th was made a public holiday in Southern Ireland?
Well, I know from my own research and people contacting me that the Orange Lodge and the Orange Order are big in Ireland, but they're huge in America. I mean, much bigger than in Ireland and totally different than what people in Northern Ireland. I respect people from Northern Ireland and what they believe about the other side of whatever it is. But, they would. I mean, I remember in 2002, I pitched the Williamite Way to arts officers in Connacht. And I remember it was like when I said it, there was just people were a bit gobsmacked. They didn't know what the hell was this guy talking about. And that's later now is, you know, fly into Belfast, fly out of Limerick. Over the next 2 years, it changed into the...
Well, then
The Wild Atlantic Way.
From your contacts. And, from your contacts. I want to stick to July the 12th because this is the proposal. Mm. From your contacts with the Orange Order, insofar as I don't want to exaggerate them or otherwise, I don't know. But do you think the Orange Order would welcome the 12th becoming a public holiday in the Republic?
Well, in terms of visas, they don't need a visa to go to Ireland, but they do need a visa to go to the mainland in Europe. So where are you going to go for your holiday? What's easier for you? What's your budget?
Okay. By the way, we've asked the Orange Order if they were approached about this proposal from the Green Party, the Green and the Orange, and the Orange Order say this is not something the Orange Order has been approached about. So I don't know if they have a view or not. Dr. Madge O'Boyle. Madge, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. I just want to say that I think this approach is a bit over the top, that a more sensible approach would be to take reconciliation step by step. For instance, maybe the northern people could start coming down to the site of the Battle of the Boyne to commemorate, and that we would accept that. And I wrote a book myself in 2016 on my granduncle, who was the first RIC constable to be killed in the 1916 Rising. Mm-hmm. And I did it not to glorify the RIC, but I did it as a means of opening up discussion in a sensible way. And that's why I did that.
Discussion? And, discussion about what, Madge?
The discussion about history in general. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only in recent years, 2006, that the Irish government have started opening up this whole area of the Rising and the Civil War and the War of Independence. So there's a lot of discussion needs to be done. I think it would be more important to have informal meetings for Irish people to go up to Belfast and as tourists to have more of that happening, because the tourism industry isn't as developed in Northern Ireland as it would be in the South. So start informally, step by step, and do it in a sensible manner. Get to know each other and do it like that.
Would you go up to...
I have lived in Northern Ireland.
Well, what's it like on July the 12th?
It can be a bit intimidating. For instance, I used to drive through Armagh on my way to Donegal in July, and it can be, the flag thing is a bit overdone. I think it's actually tasteless to see so many flags covering the city of Armagh. That's where I was going through. And, you know, a little bit of taste on both sides, you know, and a little bit of diplomacy, I think, is what's needed.
You see, but if July the 12th is a holiday down south, one of the obvious things would be, well, if it's a day off down here, why don't we go up to Belfast or Mygashel or Newtownards or Ballymena or Lisbon to see the parade?
Yeah, okay. Well, there are people who are off.
Well, I tell,
say,
well, I tell
on
you,
the 20th that could go up.
Well,
you know, if they wanted to.
Well, Madge, I've gone up.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
I admit,
yes.
I was only a student and I was curious, and I hitched up to Belfast. Two weeks experience. I've hitched up to Belfast to see what was going on July the 12th.
Yes.
I stood in, I think it was Castle Street. I stood and the parade comes, and it comes in waves. So there'd be four bands and then there's a big gap. Okay, and at one stage, the crowds are four or five deep, massive crowd, but there's no barrier as such. And at one stage, I said, oh, I think I'll go across to the other side of the street. There might be a better view. And as I went to step onto the street, I was grabbed by the collar and pulled back and told in no uncertain terms, nobody crosses the route of the 12th parade. Nobody
yes.
crosses the route. Now, I was up there, as I said, about 5 weeks ago, and it was the week after the coronation. And I drove, as I do, there's a fantastic memorial to men who fell in World War One. They were primarily men, on the Shankill Road, and I always go up to it if I can. I got up, I went up, got out of my car, and within 2 minutes, and by the way, it was a Sergeant Reg car, and Sergeant Reg cars are so identifiable, yeah. The D, Reg, whatever. Within 2 minutes, I was talking to a number of people who were extraordinarily friendly. And we talked about this, that, and the other, and we talked about the coronation, and we also talked about the 12th. And they said to me, whatever, and I know this, because I filmed up there around July 10th and 11th one year, I would not bring my car next or near a loyalist area in Belfast this particular week, because it would be burnt out.
Yeah.
I've no doubt about that. I've absolutely no
doubt.
Well,
that's why I think it would be more sensible for some of them to come down.
But this is what the Green Party want the 12th to be a public holiday in the south. I presume they want us all to go up north on to celebrate the public holiday. You'd be taking your life in your hands.
I think it's a bit over the top, and it's not timely. And there's a lot of post-conflict work to be done in the north still. The British Army walked out. There are a lot of people who are traumatised, a lot of people on antidepressants.
Yes, yes.
And high suicide rate.
Well said,
all those
well
mental
remembered.
Problems
yeah.
weren't dealt with. I think we have to take it step by
And we've
step.
No comprehension of it down south.
No,
I think I know that's an awful blase thing to say, but we've no comprehension of the effect of 4,000 people murdered.
No. And I think if the Green Party came out with a statement like that, that's totally over the top. I wonder how many of them have they come up here.
Well, I don't think so. Well,
I
mentioned the massacres, the Orange Order themselves have been the subject of savage massacres. The Tully Allen massacre, the five people that were killed was John Johnson, 80, James McKee, 73, William McKee, his son, 40, Nevin McCollum, 48, William Heron, 68. They all belonged, and this is the reason why they were shot. They were murdered by so-called Republicans. They all belonged to the Tully Allen Guiding Star Temperance Orange Lodge, would you believe it or not? And that took place on the 15th of September 1975. And there's... Anyway, I need to take another... No, Liam, you come in. Liam, come in before the break.
I just
to me.
Want to say that people like Linda Irvine, who's working very quietly and building up reconciliation.
The relation of David
Irvine,
that's
what we need to do. It's a small island. We should be together. It should be one island. But,
Who was it who said a small island, great hatred, unfortunately?
Small island, great hatred, unfortunately.
And we have to deal with that. I agree with you. Liam is originally from Tipperary. Liam, July the 12th should be a public holiday in the south, according to the Green Party.
Yeah, July, Tipperary, we're living in Dublin. Yeah, it's not for nothing is there an orange section in the tricolour. When Thomas Marr of the Sword brought back the tricolour from the Paris Revolutionaries in 1848, that orange section was put on it in acknowledgement of the fact that the Orange Order was in every county in Ireland.
Okay.
It was a big sector of the populace. Now, of course, the North, some of what is happening in the North, those, you know, like any fundamentalist situation, they will give anything a bad name, like Islamic fundamentalists. You know, I would agree with Patrick Cosgrove. We should acknowledge that part of our history, and you know, whether it's actually due a full day holiday is another thing. But there should be more of acknowledgement. We acknowledge the Green. We could say St. Patrick's Day may be an acknowledgement of the Green part, but the Orange section should also be acknowledged. I mean, a lot of our Protestant populace left the country, you know, or emigrated after the kind of state that came into being here after, you know, we got our free state status. But you know, if we want to kind of go on and create a more modern state, we should be far more inclusive and acknowledge their own section and the historical reason why it was put on a tricolour from the very start. I know myself, when I was young, I was working up in Mosinies in 66, and as a dishwasher, and after July the 12th, the camp was inundated with about 5,000 people, from mainly of the Orange section, and they celebrated the Orange Day, and there was no trouble. And I've often met kind of people from the nationalist tradition in the North who, before the trouble started, would go and watch the Orange Parade and, you know, participate in it, because it was, as the people who have been to Ross Nola said, you know, a good day out and fun and stuff and all that kind of thing. But of course, what's happened in the North is everything has gone very extreme, and you know, and of course, particularly in some sections of the unionist society, because they feel themselves very beleaguered.
And I'm sure, I mean, as I say, my experience in Northern Ireland, and it's a fair amount for over the years, up to quite recently, and will continue, I hope. I see Belfast, Derry to a different extent. I've been in the bigger urban areas, and you hear from what you see in some photographs that the Orange Order in urban areas and parts of Belfast, especially working class areas, is different to the Orange Order in rural areas. And I accept all those nuances. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And so far as we can judge, and remember, I cannot see the calls coming in, but I'm told, as far as we can judge, the significant majority of calls are against the Green Party idea of making July the 12th a public holiday. Eamon, sorry for holding you, Eamon. Your story, please, Eamon.
Hello, Joe. First-time caller, very nervous.
Yeah, I hope long-time listener.
Very long time left.
Good lad. That's what I'd love to hear.
I tell you what it is. I grew up during the 1990s and I went to school in Drumcree. 97 and 98 was the worst years ever. We were going on the bus. We were the first ones to be collected. There was about 15 of us. And there was a banger threw down the back of the bus. And I was in the middle row, back seat. And one of the young fellas to the right of me, he had a banger land on his lap. Only I grabbed that banger and threw it down the aisle, he wouldn't have the three kids he has today.
Okay.
That's how hated it was. There were two of my friends, Anthony and Oliver, and God rest, Oliver's dead now, were kicked from one end of Portadown to the other just because they were Catholic. Until we have a truth and reconciliation.
Okay, I mean, just hold on. After the Good Friday Agreement, it seemed to me that things did mellow, to say the least.
It was my first vote with the Good Friday Agreement. It was brilliant. 10 years of absolute euphoria. I think it was because of a lot to do with John Hume and Seamus Mullen and then unionist leaders, you know. It was great, but the thing has got extreme in the last 15 years.
Why?
Because what about it? Yous have got this, we haven't got that. And I believe, this is my own personal belief, is that our politicians on the nationalist stroke Catholic side were helping us out, but the loyalist stroke unionist politicians left the working class community behind them. I remember working in a local factory here a couple of years ago, and he was talking about Conor McGregor and all this here, and ultimately every conversation would end up on republicanism. And about the third day I listened to this, I had to go to him, stop this. I was on a night shift. Stop this. I just can't be listening to that. Like, and this was a young fella, maybe 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
He hadn't grew up during the Troubles. And it's just...
In factories, I presume it still stands that you cannot display flags of a particular identity in factories around the 12th.
Correct. And you're not allowed to display them in vans, and you're not allowed to wear shirts or anything like that there now. Rightly so.
And what was July? Well, you went to school in Drumcree, so you knew it. I don't know whether you read about, you still read the Belfast Telegraph, as I mentioned the other day. It's one of my favourite newspapers, especially at the moment. And they on Saturday's Belfast Telegraph, there was a full page advertisement from the Orange Order, Eamon. And they say they were talking about Garvahy Road, actually. Tomorrow, most people will walk home from church unhindered, then there's a sash. But not if you're wearing one of these, i.e. a sash. Tomorrow morning, people will attend a service of worship at a small church of Ireland, County Armagh, the Orchard County of Ireland. They're actually talking about the march back down to Garvahy Road. They say the Orange Order is a Christ-centred global organisation. Fintan O'Toole at one stage say it's the oldest society in Ireland. But anyway, the Orange Order is a Christ-centred global organisation with a membership spanning continents, all united in their belief in basic human rights and civil liberties. All we, tomorrow morning, this was Sunday, I was Saturday for Sunday, tomorrow morning all we ask is to peacefully walk a traditional route home from church. There will be bands to accompany us with hymn tunes. There will be no provocative behaviour from any Orangemen. We ask the nation to pray for us tomorrow morning, to thank God for the liberties won in the past and the liberties defended against terrorism and its sympathisers, and that the world will see and understand that civil liberties are essential to people. And then the logo of the Orange Order, and then their motto at the minute is the Orange Order, local lodges, global liberties. Now, they also say the Parade Commission, which is a government commission, they say an unelected, unaccountable body continues to make no effort to seek a resolution on this issue. In contrast, the Portadown Orange District has engaged widely in order to seek a solution with respects. Now, as far as I know, and as the fella said, I could be wrong, I'll find out over the break. As far as I know, there was no trouble in Garvahy. And the main story when I read the Telegraph this morning was about that image of Leo Varadkar over the Mike Ashel thing. But there was a low-key protest, I'm told, according to the Telegraph yesterday, at Drumcree, and their headline says it all. It's a far cry from the violent scenes in 1998, 25 years ago. A low-key protest continues over parade ban. The Orange Order protested when they were stopped, but there was that was the end of it. OK, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie, we're dealing with the fallout, the reaction, the public reaction, the listener reaction to the suggestion from the Green Party at noon today that the day after tomorrow, obviously not beginning this year, but they are part of the government, that July the 12th should be a public holiday in this republic. Marion, your point, please. Sorry for holding you for so long. There's such a queue of people at this stage. Marion.
Hello, good afternoon, Joe.
Your point, please.
Yeah, I was just listening to the topic there. I think we should just leave that march in the north, where it started, where it belongs, to the Orange Order. I mean, they don't interfere. They don't make a big deal about our Paddy Day parade.
What do you think of the proposal? It's coming from a government party.
I don't care, Joe, if it's coming from the moon or from the good Lord above in heaven. It's a pea-brained idea.
Why?
We don't need it. We've enough of our own stuff here. And leave those people. There's been peace, relative peace up there since the Good Friday Agreement. I know there's little blotches of places here and there. But something like that to come down to Dublin and make a public holiday, not come down to Dublin, but make it a public holiday, the 12th. I mean, Jesus, all the Catholics and Christians have turned in their graves. And I'm not a Protestant because I have them in the family. But,
well, Patrick Costello of the Green Party TD said it'd be great for tourism in the south.
Yeah, but it's already great for tourism because a lot of the nationalists come down here and have done for years, come down for the 5, 6, 7 a week maybe, down to the south and further than Dublin, down to West Cork and places like that. That's a load of old nonsense now.
And the argument that it would be a fantastic gesture to our northern brethren who are of a loyalist persuasion.
Our northern brethren are not remotely interested in us in the south in that sense. I mean, I remember as a child of...
I'm quoting from the Green Party TD. Efforts such as this would reaffirm that commitment to a sense of shared ownership and history of the island. Indeed, in Northern Ireland, both the 12th and St. Patrick's Day are designated as public holidays. This too should be replicated here.
Well, maybe they can replicate it in another 50 or 100 years' time. I just think it's too soon for something like that. I certainly wouldn't go to see it. I did see apprentice boys' parades in Enniskillen when I was very, very young.
And what was that like?
And they were just parades, like they were nothing, you know, they were just parades. I was brought to see them, and, you know, because of the Protestants in my family. And I was probably too young to appreciate what they were. But can you imagine, there was some sort of a parade or something here some years ago on... There was awful trouble in Dublin City.
That was a Love Ulster march, but they were attacked by a gang of organised thugs on that day.
Of course, and people,
it's worth remembering that people, and I know other people were assaulted, the Gardaí especially, by the group of thugs who apparently were opposing the Love Ulster march. One of the people that was assaulted was Charlie Bird, and some public figures, not in the Green Party, I hasten to add, some of the Green Party, there wasn't a lot of sympathy coming for Charlie Bird at that time when he was attacked by those thugs who claimed to be Republican. Brendan, regards to Charlie and Claire. Brendan Kowser and Tiger. Brendan.
Hello.
Sorry for holding your point, please. Brendan.
Brendan, I feel that any politician who expresses those kind of views down here is crazy. Now, first and foremost, a loyalist celebration day down here would probably cause a lot of bother. Anyway, now, secondly, we have St. Patrick's Day, which is our national holiday. It's celebrated throughout the world by everybody with great joy and happiness and friendliness. And that's open to all persuasions, Catholic, Protestant, dissenter. Doesn't matter what your colour or creed, you're part of St. Patrick's Day, as we see all the time. Yeah. And I just cannot stomach the idea of a politician here getting on and saying, bring the loyalists down here, give them a national day. It's a load of rubbish as far as I'm concerned.
It's all news to the Orange Order as well, apparently. Let me stay there, Brendan. Gemma Brawley has contacted us from Derry. Gemma is also a candidate for the Aintu party. Gemma, good afternoon.
How you doing?
How you keeping? What do you think of this idea, Gemma?
I have to be honest and say it's very raw as somebody who grew up in the Troubles. You know, you're saying there you're completely inundated. I can completely understand why. This is a very emotive subject. And as you, and I welcome your comments, as you have rightly pointed out, you know, these are real lives you're talking about. These are people who have lost children.
On both sides.
Somebody, sides. And, you know, you refer just to the Clun children there. Mm-hmm. That's a very real memory in my head. I come from the place where those children are buried. So that's a regular occurrence. In fact, recently we visited that graveyard and I had to explain to my 8-year-old why there was toys on a grave. That's the real life. But I do, you know, Aintu are a party of, we welcome diversity, we welcome, you know, that everybody has a right to express themselves respectfully. Mm-hmm. But as you rightly point, and we rightly hear, there is an absence of that respect in the north very much so, and there still is to this day. We have made progress, but isn't part of the problem, Gemma,
that when you mentioned the Quinn children, rightly so, it's their anniversary, but every day is an anniversary for at least 10 or 11 families. But when you mentioned the Quinn children killed by loyalists, I could mention Tim Parry, Jonathan Ball, Denise Carter, all Baby Smith, all killed by the Provisional IRA. Children.
Yeah, and here we
children.
Are again. And I completely concur. Here we are again in a whataboutry. And this is the kind, this is your subject today. This is what this brings. But my question, as you have been hinted to there, would be how many times has the Green Party TD visited the North at the time of the 12th? In fact, let's see, we need real effort at reconciliation here, not tokenism. How many times have the Green Party sat down or invited loyalists to sit down and have a conversation? We are in a place, thank God, more and more so. It's one of the reasons I got involved in politics, I believe in a time where we can sit down and discuss the way forward. That might well involve discussing a public holiday on the 12th of July.
Okay.
But
That is
true reconciliation, not this such tokenism as something is two very different pictures, North and South.
Okay, Gemma Bradley, good evening, all good. And sorry, apologies to all the other callers who I just cannot get to. Today's programme was produced by Brenda Dunhu. Ray Darcy's next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.